The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Did you know that Betty Boop was based off on
a black woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also it's like, are you guys fucking kidding me with that?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
That's history.
Black woman erasure. That's like what American history is.
It is. Can we like start a movie where Barack Obama and Idris Elba team up to like fight for black women and like be like, hey guys, remember this thing that black women did? Remember that thing that black women did, but they're shirtless the whole time?
That is literally Magic Mike XXXXL.
Tonight, we know in our hearts the best is yet to come.
Well, what's the other one called? Chocolate City?
Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate.
Do you remember that guy?
Everybody remembers Tayson Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Oh my gosh. Can we get him on the show?
Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
That's like our new. That's our new season four, like opener.
To the Queens.
Samuel Bobby Dobby.
To the Queens.
What up, listeners? I'm back. Hashtag a dinosaur story. I'm still flying solo while my missus, Miss P. Robs, is international shooting her movie. So here's a cool surprise. This episode is part two of my birthday show. It was so fun that we had to make it twice as nice. We were joined by Roy Wood Jr., J.D. Samson, and Matt Koff. If you haven't listened to part one, you might want to go back and check it out because some of these jokes may not make sense. You feel me? Great. On with the show.
Guys, ready for more show? Oh. I stepped on the mic stand and it hit me in the...
That's funny. The one open mic that I ever did, that happened to me and I was mortified.
Oh, really?
And then I tried to like recover. I was like, wasn't that goofy what I did? And so I grabbed the microphone and then it fell to the floor.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, thank you guys, I'm Jessica Williams. See you later. That was maybe negative 10 seconds from being on stage.
So you've only done like proper stand-up how many times?
Once.
And that was it?
That was my last one. I said, cool, bury my stand-up career. And then I put it to bed.
No, you have to. Shouldn't she go back and do it again?
I'm like so scared. I think that might be my like 28-year goal. Like my year 28.
You should do a
I'm
proper...
I'm like so afraid.
Do a proper stand-up show. Like, it's like, even if you do poorly, it like sucks. But it's also like, who cares?
Me.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right, but like,
yeah,
in the
but you're like, you know, you're like, who cares? And it's like, oh, it's like really devastating, you know, the first couple of
times.
Right,
but then like, you get used to it. And then like, I've been doing it for 9 years.
Uh-huh.
And so if I have a bad set, I'm just kind of like, sorry. Like, I don't.
What would you say, like, the first year, though? Like, how were you? That's like such a long time.
I mean, the first year was probably like, you know, I was doing like open mics and like, you know, shows in front of friends. So it's just kind of like, everyone's support. Like, I don't think I was like that great, but I had stage presence.
Presence.
Yeah, so it was fine. And then like you have like, I remember the first time I bombed, it was like my brother had like been telling his college friends like, oh my God, Phoebe's doing stand up, so you should go to like one of her shows.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why would you tell people to do that? And it was like maybe my first year in, and I did this show that was like poorly attended, and I bombed for like 10-12 minutes, like no laughs.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like garbage. And so my friend and I, we went and I got drunk off of my car lemonade.
Did she say Mike Hart?
Yeah, Mike's Hart.
Mike's like, I own it, actually.
Yeah, sorry. Mike Hart Lemonade.
It's my heart.
No, Mike's Hart Lemonade. I went and I got wasted off of that.
That's good stuff. So at least I feel like it's like when I've bombed, at least for improv or sketch, there's like a bunch of us. And we're like, cool. That was all trash, right? Everybody's like, yeah, man. And then you could just trust fall into, you know, each other.
But the thing is, when you fail by yourself, it is like... you get so strong.
Yeah, that's hot.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the... Did you ever see the making the video of Britney Spears' Stronger video?
Obviously.
Where she's like fucking around with the chair. It's like chair
and
technology.
Oh, it's great.
I love that song, actually. Yeah. I think it's one of Britney's best. But that making the video is peak making the video for me, I think.
It's great.
And it was like cute. And it was at that time, like, you remember that era of music videos that... they were obviously in front of a green screen the entire time, and everybody was really into machines. So it would be like TLC doing No Scrubs, but they were in like a machine.
Yeah.
Like Aaliyah more than a woman in a weird machine.
Right.
Like, it's very bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like everybody was using the same fucking technology for these music videos.
But it's just like everyone was like, Y2K, it happened. Yeah. Like, we gotta like talk about it.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Then they're like, I'm standing next to what appears to be like a piston. You know, it's like always. It's very weird.
Very weird.
It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, your video looks just like that person's video, right?
Right. But like when you watched Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson scream, like I remember watching that and being like, this is literally the future. Like literally.
I know for me.
Guitars flying in my house. Like I didn't know.
When I had that, it was for like Hillary Duff's So Yesterday song. And like. Black and like
hello
NSYNC. I was like, this is the future.
I got NSYNC, a phone call.
No, I'm sorry. That better be Justin Timberlake.
Wait,
but like
for you,
felt
for
like
you,
the future.
Hillary Duff was the a seminal.
Yeah, she was like really important. They like peddled her a lot. Disney was like, we're gonna fucking take this girl and put her in everybody's fucking face. I promise you, it's like not even my fault. That's not my fault.
Wow.
It's literally not my fault. It was like massive propaganda, like North Korea style propaganda for Hillary Duff. Like it was just, there was nowhere to be. Even with Lindsay Lohan, they were a little bit iffy, but Hillary Duff, they were like, this is a girl.
Yeah.
It's not going to fucking get trash. You can always count on Hillary. Like, let's just go for it.
Wow.
So she, you know, she gave a little bit. She gave a little bit.
I am not familiar with her work. Should I like go back?
No, you don't need to. If you're in the room and you know what it is, like, let's not recommend it to anybody else. This is between us. Like, I'm not proud. But her voice was like fine. It's like Jennifer Lopez fine.
It's like, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
So yesterday.
Haven't you heard that I'm gonna be okay? Like, that's the extent of that
what?
Song. I promise you that's a lyric. But it's not my fault that I know it. Like, I stand in my truth. I do feel a little judged.
I mean, I'm not judging you. I'm just like... First of all,
that was intense.
First of all,
wow, who was it?
Who was it?
I think, yeah, who was it? I knew it was her.
First of all,
I knew it was her.
This is not a TV. I can hear you.
That's funny.
Secondly, yeah. I'm not judging her. I'm judging the Hillary Duff songwriting team for that lyric.
That's like some, that is some fucking Kellyanne Conway backpedaling. Like,
no.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like I'm gonna Anderson Cooper, like, ugh. Like, that's crazy.
Okay,
but imagine, like, how
rude.
Stressful that was for you to backpedal that. And, like, that's Kellyanne Conway's dumbass job.
Right, like...
all day, every day.
Right. She was trash, but, like, that is, like, the worst... like, you have to make sense of crazy... like, that was all she... that was the best you could do in that position to defend crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of cool in a way. Like, it's obviously her job is trash, but it's kind of like... it's cool that she can do it. It's, like, kind of cool that, like, a woman is killing it.
Like, I wouldn't last a day. I'd be like... I'm like, yeah, he's a fucking idiot. I don't know. He's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, no. I just can't believe, like, people are going to fucking stand at a podium and just stand up for this dude. But it's also like, you know, look at this... in this country, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm with her, like, whatever.
Woo! You guys ready for more show?
Our next comedian is very wonderful. He's super, super funny. He is also another person that I used to work with. He is a correspondent on The Daily Show. Please give it up for Roy Wood Jr.! Hi, Roy.
Yeah. Hang on, don't leave. Let me talk all freaky to you like LeVar Burton.
Fuck you. That was so intense.
You are amazing. That's how you make anything sexy, fellas. You gotta hold that last syllable. I want to wish you happy birthday. I like New York, man. This city growing on me, man. I'm finally getting used to the noise. Getting used to the noise in this city. A lot of noise. Every night, it's just stuff happening outside your window. You know, New Yorkers, they try to make that seem like that's culture, like that's part of this. You know, this is a city that never sleeps. It's a city that won't shut the fuck up. Hush! It's 3:30 in the morning. What are y'all talking about outside my window? I'm laying down one night up the block. I just hear this dude go, "You know what you did? You know what you did." And the southerner in me, I'm from Alabama, the southerner in me wanted to go to the window and go, "Ooh, what's going on? Let me see who's yelling." But I've been here long enough to know better. You mind your business and you stay in the bed. They know what they did. They shouldn't have done it. Fuck them. You wouldn't be out there getting yelled at. You gotta mind your business. That's what this city's all about. I'm from the South, where everybody wants to have a little chit-chat with you. But New York, that's the first rule of New York, is mind your damn business. You don't look at anybody. You don't speak to me on this elevator. You look up at the ceiling. You mind your business. That's why I don't think all immigrants should even have to learn the language. For what? We ain't gonna talk to them. What? You finally learn English and then you live in New York. "Hello, I learned the English." Shut your ass up and mind your business. It depends on what the job is that dictates whether or not you need to learn fluent English. We're taught to mind our business. We're taught to mind our business subliminally from an early age. Video games is what gave us that habit. I was playing Street Fighter for the first time. Long time. I ain't played Street Fighter in a long ass time. First of all, sidebar, as a video game, just the premise of Street Fighter does not hold up. It does not. I'm an adult now, and I just know with healthcare, you wouldn't just fight a dude. Like, you wouldn't just... Not without good healthcare. You wouldn't just fight a dude. Because that's the whole premise of Street Fighter. If you never played the game, the whole premise of Street Fighter is two strangers agree to meet in a public place and beat the shit out of each other. That's it. That's the whole game. "I heard you was talking shit." "You damn right I was talking shit. What you want to do about it? You want to fight? Let's meet in a private place where we can fight undisturbed." Fuck that. Meet me at the fish market. During normal business hours, and I'll fight you. Because if you never played Street Fighter, in the background of every street fight, there's regular commerce happening. There's people throwing fireballs at each other. It's two grown men in a fish market just hadouken, hadouken. And right behind them, it's just a guy. "Yeah, I'll take the catfish, let me get the corn. And I guess give me the crab legs. I take the crab legs with the catfish. Hadouken!" You know what? Just wrap it up to go. I'm gonna take it to go. They throwing them fireballs. I don't wanna be out here now. Throwing them fireballs. The only realistic aspect of Street Fighter is that the police never show up. That part of the game I completely get. Because even if you called 911, are they going to believe you? Would 911 believe you if you called to report a fireball fight at the fish market? 911, what is your emergency? Yeah, y'all need to get down here to the fish market. These white people throwing fireballs at each other again. Sir, this line is for emergency. Bitch, what you think this is? It's a damn green man electrocuting people. Y'all got to get down here. And if you're the cop, would you take that call? Would you respond to the fireball fight? And look, police are brave people, but if I'm a cop, I'm quitting right there on the spot. And I don't mean go back to the station, turn in my gun and badge. I can't do, no, I'm quitting over the radio right there. I'm leaving my keys under the tire. I'm gone. I ain't stopping no fireball fight, dude. I'm not trained for that. What you gonna do? What you gonna do with your department issue Glock to stop a fireball? Dispatcher 2 Victor, go for 2 Victor. 2 Victor, respond code 3, old fish market, disturbance in progress. Suspect is male, white, karate outfit, throwing fireball. Hadouken. Dispatch, I ain't gonna be able to do that. I'm gonna leave them keys under the tire. Just come on, get your car. 3 Victor is unavailable. Check and see if 4 Victor. 4 Victor might be able to take that out. This is 4 Victor. Don't you pull me into that shit. She told you to go. That was the thing that fascinated me about Street Fighter, man. It wasn't the people fighting. It was the people in the background. And that was the lesson we were taught at an early age. No matter what is happening around you, mind your motherfucking business. It's a life lesson. I'm getting a dog. I am. It's not because I love animals. I need new answers to my account security questions. I'm running out. Apparently, the only way you can unlock your bank account is if good shit has happened to you. You ever notice that? All the account security questions, it's just reminiscing about the good old days. What if I had a shitty life? Why are these questions all great? What was your pet's name? Who was the first girl you kissed? What street did you grow up on? What if this horrible shit happened to me as a child and I don't want to remember that street? How about that? What about me, Bank of America? How come I can't get in my account? How about who do you still want to punch in the face from high school? That's a great account security question. And it's much harder to guess. I can guess your pet's name because you post them on Instagram all day. But not once have I ever tweeted about Antonius Jones. You'd never know the answer to that question. I guess I should change that for a podcast, huh? We was recording for a podcast. Right, we'll talk about that after the show. Right. It don't matter. He in jail. He ain't gonna hear this shit. Fucking Antonius Jones. There's one account security question that I think is unintentionally racist. I won't call it racist. It's just not favorable for black account holders. I had a bank account one time and tried to guess my password and it goes, "What is your great grandmother's maiden name?" I don't know what y'all know about slavery. But the paperwork wasn't that solid. There's a lot of black people who legitimately do not know their great-grandmother's maiden name. That's a trick question. Class action lawsuit. Talk to me after the show. How dare you rip open the scabs of slave manifests? That's why them DNA commercials trip me out. I see the DNA commercials. They got everybody on the DNA commercial happy because they know their race. I went to Ancestry, and I know that I am 15% and 12%. They got a black dude on one of the commercials. I'm not even making this up. It's a black dude. He's 9% Norwegian, happy as shit. Just dancing the whole commercial. Man, I'm 9% Norwegian. I'm 9%. You're still not going to get the job, sir. Know what you're happy about unless there's a, do you have a little whiting your question at the bottom of the application? I'm not saying that DNA registries, I'm not saying that DNA testing is not useful to black people. I'm just saying if you look at the history of black people, something that we would find much more useful would be the names of our ancestors. That would be a much more useful service for black people, just for black. Like, I'm coming out with a service. I'm going to start a Kickstarter. It's called, Hey Man, Who Was On That Boat, Though? Look, y'all aren't the ones who lost the paperwork, okay? You're like, why was you? I know, it wasn't you, white people. It wasn't you specific. I'm not attacking y'all for losing slave ship paperwork. Crazy week in the city. I haven't learned anything else from living in New York. I've learned how quickly people can mobilize for the right thing. And that's cool. It's a beautiful thing to see. But it catch you off guard sometimes in New York. You ever been stuck in traffic over a protest that you support? You don't know how to feel. But you be in traffic, like, what the fuck? But then you get up here, be like, oh. Yeah, do your thing, do your thing. Now, I'm coming to the one tomorrow, but can I just slide on by real quick? Me and my Uber driver, Keith, got somewhere to be. They got a trans protest out, and I think it's Long Island City tomorrow. I'm going to go to that, man. I'm gonna post up, see what's going on. It's cool. So one thing I have learned from working at The Daily Show, because, you know, down south, traditionally, I just go to black stuff. That was my MO. As a black person, you're allowed to take other protests off. But I got here, it was cool. I went to like two or three Muslim ban protests. And what I discovered is that if you're at a protest that ain't got nothing to do with you, you can just leave whenever you want. Because you can't do that. I can't do that at a Black Lives Matter protest. You can't just wander off and go home. You get half a block away from the action. They'd be like, the struggle continues, brother. Like, you're right. It continues. I'm back. Let's keep walking. I'm back. You gotta protest, man. You gotta do something. It's all types of insanity out there, man. I feel sorry for real racists. I do. Like, it's gotta suck, man. Like, this whole election, it's gotta suck if you always been racist. Like, I'm not talking casual. I'm talking legit, like, Klan robe, no hood. Like, you are legit racist. And you've been about this life for 40 years. And finally, here comes your time to shine, and you gotta share this moment with all these bandwagon bigots who just got on board. You know what it's like? It's like when your team win the championship, and then here come all these new motherfuckers with a hat on. Oh, yes, I too am a fan of the Denver Horses, yes. Look, you ain't no fan. Get your ass to the back of the protest. I gotta go, man. Thank you guys a lot. Appreciate that. Happy birthday, Jessica.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/DopeQueens today to get 10% off your first month.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every memory you think you have of the past.
The house you grew up in. Your first kiss.
It's not simply an idea. It's a physical trace left in your brain.
I own those memories. They define me.
But what happens when those memories are stolen from you?
In the blink of an eyelid.
Can you imagine what to have one night 20 years long? That's what it's been like. Just like this.
Memory and Forgetting on Radiolab. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We knew about this Urkel story, and we couldn't calm down.
Why would you start with that?
Well, can you let me fucking finish?
Yeah.
That felt like a very married couple thing.
Yeah, that was very Christian Bale of you. That was insane.
Yeah, that's good. That's cool. Rage is hot sometimes.
It's not on a white dude.
That's true, but like, when I yelled at you, was it hot?
No. So what? Wait, what?
Right. So we knew about the Urkel thing. We couldn't get him, but we got the white lesbian version of Urkel. So if you want to come out?
Just before they come out.
Yes.
You got the white lesbian version of Steve Urkel?
Yes.
You got the white lesbian version of Steve Urkel.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Come on out.
Oh my God. Hello. Hello.
Keep it going for Jamie Simpson.
Okay.
I mean, was that not a great description?
I guess. Are you okay with it?
It was my idea, actually. So.
You're like, how do you want to introduce?
I should get credit. Everybody who's listening right now. That was my joke. And yeah.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
I'm also glad you got my height right with the mic stand.
I'm really good at that stuff. How tall would you say you are?
5'4", I would say.
Yeah, that's hot.
That's cool. I'm like 6 foot.
And a half when I go like this.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so you said you had, we were talking about celebs earlier, so you said you had like a kind of crazy celebrity run-in?
Well, I was really interested in your Urkel story because I had a really similar one.
Tell me.
I'm from Ohio.
What part?
I'm from the Cleveland area.
Oh!
Yeah.
Cleveland. I'm from Bedford Heights.
Yeah. I'm from Pepper Pike.
Pepper Pike is good. It's all good.
It's chill.
Yeah.
Those places you guys know.
Yeah.
So there's like this place called Davis Bakery.
Okay.
And it's a bakery. It's been there forever. I went there with my mother. It's the only thing open on Thanksgiving Day. You know, so we show up. My mom goes in to get some, I believe it was whipped cream.
Just whipped cream?
Yeah, because she forgot it for her cake that she was making.
Okay. It's Thanksgiving Day. That makes
cute.
Sense.
That's cute. Yeah.
So then she comes out, and her arm is around Molly Shannon.
What?
That's lit.
And she's going like this.
Oh, no!
My mom, not Molly
just
Shannon.
Just doing full-on kicks.
And
oh,
I remember I was
God.
Reading a magazine in the car, and I was just like, I looked up, and I was just like, horrified.
Oh no.
Was Molly Shannon was doing kicks too?
No, Molly Shannon was like, get me out of here.
Oh man. Yeah. How did she tell you like what the lead up to that situation
yeah.
was?
She did.
What
yeah,
was
how
it?
Did she do it?
She was like, I know you from somewhere. I recognize you. I know you from somewhere.
Great start.
And then Molly Shannon was like, I'm on Saturday Night Live. And then my mom said, I need to take you outside to show you to my kids. I do feel bad about it, but...
I think Molly Shannon would understand. She's like, all of it was weird for everybody.
Whenever I see her on the street, I want to be like, do you remember this one time?
There's no doubt that
she
remembers.
I know, but I just feel like the whole intro would be like, hi, I want to ask you this story. And it's like, I'm from Cleveland. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Dom.
Yeah.
So how's everything going? How's career going?
Career.
Sexy times
I can't
going?
Wait.
Yeah, life, love,
sexy times. Okay, I'm really into therapy right now.
Dude, therapy's the best.
That's cool.
Therapy is like the only way.
I'm really like battling my own codependence and stuff.
That's lit.
Cool.
That's great.
That's great. What kind of therapist do you have? Like, what's their vibe?
Actually, she's from Cleveland.
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
I was like, pay less, talk on the phone so you don't have to waste an hour getting there and back. Great.
Wow.
You know, so I call her.
Okay.
We talk.
Yeah. So you do it over the phone?
Yeah.
Couldn't OTP. You just like call a friend and not...
No, that's not how
like
that
for
works.
Free?
It's not. It's like therapy is different from your friends because your friends will always have your back no matter what, but your therapist is super impartial and they have like a fucking degree.
Right.
In you. They have a degree in what you're going through. And usually they're like older or whoever you choose. Either you want like you work better with a man or a woman or somebody who's around your age or somebody older, whatever works for you. And you really just trust their advice and they will give you just a really impartial opinion.
Right. But between me and your therapist, who gives better advice?
My therapist, 150%.
I give such good advice. That's offensive.
Without question.
That's controversial.
I answered that question before you finished it. It was like my therapist every single time.
That's terrible. Have I ever given you bad advice?
Sometimes.
What? No. When?
I'm trying to think.
There was like a lot
of... There's a lot of anal stuff. There's a lot of like... Bono smashing things and
there's not a lot of anal stuff. I said you should try it once. Sorry, Jessica's
no,
mom and dad.
No, she's not. Just try it once. She's like really intense.
Actually, that's a good topic I can speak on.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's dig into it. Let's
what
do it.
What do you think, JD?
Come forward.
Let's
JD.
Solve this once Jage. And for all. What do you think, JD?
That was a joke.
Jay Mama.
What do you think, JD? Should she try it?
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, I think I should, but like sometimes she just comes in with the intensity where she's like, yes, amazing. Take a deep breath. Hold on to the bed. Breathe.
Well,
whereas
you know.
My therapist is like, you know what? You'll do it when you feel comfortable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I would agree with that.
Is like, strap yourself in. Hold your breaths.
Well, I mean, I would...
Stand this far apart.
I would never force anyone to do anal. But I would suggest that if you were interested in a new form of orgasm, that it might behoove you to try it.
That was great, like, tender advice. And I'm like, school of hard knocks, baby.
I don't need...
This is scared
I don't need,
straight. Scared straight
it.
Is
I
me.
I don't need hashtag scared straight.
Okay, so JD, how long have you been at there?
Oh, not so long. I was with a therapist for 9 years.
Okay. Nice. Did you guys break up?
We just broke up.
What
Why?
Happened?
That's so sad. That's like really intense.
I think I couldn't deal with facing myself.
Ooh, okay.
Well, that's real.
Yeah, I hope she's listening.
She's like, yeah, JD.
And so then you switched therapists.
I did.
Okay, and how do you feel about the new one?
It's a different style. You know, before I went to an analyst, and now I go to this woman who basically... It's like, you know, she's really sweet to me. She just tells me that I'm right all the time, and she agrees with me.
It's because you mostly are a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Which rules.
Okay, so wait, what does an analyst do? They're just very, like, clinical, and there's no, like, emotion attached?
She just didn't really, like, it wasn't an advice situation, you know? It was
right.
like, she watched me. Silently for 9 years.
This sounds like a David Lynch movie. That's very David Lynch. I'm scared. Are you in a relation right now? Relationship?
I'm dating.
You are?
You are? Ooh. Like, are you dating one person? Or like multiple?
I'm dating
people.
One person.
Oh, that's
for
awesome.
I recently had a major breakup, so.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow. No, you should be like, oh, yay. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you should be like, we all move on.
Yeah.
We get.
So who broke up with who?
Oh, that's so not what we're here to talk about.
See, I got into processing. I was
that
just
was
like,
intense.
I wanted to process. Okay, sorry, won't process. Tell us about the new...
but I'd rather talk about breaking up with my therapist. But,
yeah, no, wait. What are you up to, JD? What's the haps?
Well,
you're
you
doing
know...
music? What's going on?
I do music. I teach at NYU now.
What?
Yeah.
That's
cool. Oh, that's hot.
I teach the children well.
What
are you teaching?
Yeah, what's the class?
I teach two classes at the Recorded Music Department of NYU Tisch, which is the Clive Davis School of Recorded Music.
Wow.
Yeah,
what kind of teacher are you? Are you like a tough but fair teacher? Are you kind of like, we're just friends
teacher? That's what I was going to ask. Like, is it like, you know, like in Dangerous Minds, Michelle Pfeiffer like sat and then she like... turn the chair backwards.
Are you
Are you that kind of teacher?
Are you like Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World?
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what
that's
I mean?
A good one. Or are you like, you know, like Snape? He was a teacher in a way.
Wow, I don't really know how to explain myself. I'm kind of like, hey, I'm not that much older than you. You're really great, but there's some problems in this song.
Is it like, oh, so it's like a critique class. Are there
That's
like...
That's cool.
Well, no, I'm just like, they'll be like, can you listen to this track? I'm really into it. Do you like it? I think I'm going to put it out. And then I'm like, there's a lot of problems here. We should really talk about that.
Oh, so, no.
I don't know. I'm really honest. I can't help it.
That's good.
That's good.
Do you do... I remember when I was in school, I was in like creative writing. We had to do these critique sandwiches. Do you do that? Where you're like, here's a nice thing. I'm going to drag you to filth. Here's a nice thing. Or do you just go, here's the truth?
No, I do that.
That's good.
I do that. Yeah.
It's like, I would feel nervous because what if there was nothing to say?
Right.
Like, there was a beginning and there was an end.
In high school,
yeah,
I had this writing teacher, mm-hmm. forget his name, he was a hippie, he was cool, and he wrote down on the board somebody's, what is it called, thesis statement for a book report. And it was, death ends many lives.
You know...
That's trash.
The thing is, when you're in high school...
That's trash.
You watch, like, Party of Five, and you think you're wise.
Trash.
Like, I get it.
That's trash.
I get it. You're like, Scott Wolf is going through so much, and then you write that sentence. Like, totally makes sense.
Death ends many lives. I'm trying to think...
I have to say, when he wrote it, I was like, so what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's true.
Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, it could end. Death can end many, and then it could also begin others. You know what I mean?
It's like
was it your sentence?
No, thank God.
That'd be funny if you were like testing the waters on it here.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta wrap it up soon. So Jess is turning 28.
I heard.
Yeah. So do you have any advice as she enters her late 20s?
Yeah, that's
like,
a great
what
question.
Can she do in her late 20s?
Nice.
Well,
that's 20s, just in case you guys...
Twants.
Okay.
My old bandmate, Kathleen, once told me, your 30s are for saying no.
Yeah!
That's dope.
And your 40s are for saying yes.
So
I might have that
what
backwards.
What about the first part? Yeah, what about the prequel?
Yeah, what about... She's not 30.
I need the prequel.
I was getting there.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Great. If we were, like, in your class, we'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So I would say, for these last 2 years of your 20s, I would say, have anal sex.
I appreciate that.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Jerry Seinfeld on making a life in comedy.
This is a writer's game. If you can write, you succeed. If you can't, you will not make it. Any comedian can be funny on stage, but the bullets are the writing.
Jerry Seinfeld on his film Unfrosted and more. That's the New Yorker Radio Hour from WNYC Studios. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for our last comedian of the evening?
He is very funny. He is a delight. He was my coworker when I worked at The Daily Show. He is a writer there. Please give it up for Matt Cobb!
Hey guys, one more time for your host. It's true, I do write for The Daily Show, and I know what you guys are thinking. This guy is going to get up here, just shit all over Trump. Shit. Well, guess what? You're right. But, I got to admit, and I'm not proud of this, Trump has actually grown on me. Didn't vote for the guy, but I'm starting to like him. He's starting to make me look at things a little bit differently. For example, John Wilkes Booth. Hear me out. I used to think of John Wilkes Booth as history's greatest monster. But now I look at him as a doer. I mean, this guy didn't stay home tweeting. He went out there and he got the job done. Did you guys know that John Wilkes Booth was only 26 when he shot Lincoln? I'm 35. I was like, what the hell am I doing with my life? This guy's shooting presidents, fucking getting cast in plays. I can't even get a callback for a Domino's commercial, and I look like I should be in a Domino's commercial. You know, I got the glasses, but I look too smart. Yeah. Three kinds of meat on one pizza? Yes, please. I can do that shit. You're hired, me. Another reason I like Trump is because he's giving us all permission to be just a little bit worse. You know? This guy's a sex-offending xenophobe who's president. Yeah, I am going to steal a coworker's yogurt. But I got to admit, I am a little excited for the end of the world, you know? I am. My friend and I talk about it. He's like, Matt, when society falls apart, I'm just going to go up to the top of my apartment building and jump. And I'm like, wow, way to brag about having roof access. Why don't you just drown yourself in your in-unit washer dryer, you piece of shit? Why don't you turn up the central air and freeze to death, you luxury condominium fuck? I know how I'm gonna kill myself, if I have to. I don't wanna do it quick, I wanna do it fun. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make a nice plate of spaghetti, right? A nice plate of spaghetti for my Italian friends, and I'm gonna tie the last strand of the spaghetti around the trigger of a shotgun that's pointed at my face. So I eat the spaghetti, bada bing, bada boom, I'm dead. Spaghetti shotgun. And I'll tell you what I like about spaghetti shotgun. It combines my two favorite Disney moments. Lady and the Tramp and Bambi's mom. Okay, all right. I guarantee none of you have seen Bambi in the past 10 years. Bambi's mom was awful. She was a child molester. She hit Bambi. She killed 6 million Jews, I think. Bambi's mom was a cunt! And death was too good for her! So I'm single. I'm 35. never marry, and I have a cat. Give it up for me. Give it up for me because I've already given up. I struggle with depression a little bit, especially in the winter. It gets really bad. I got this thing called a daylight lamp that's supposed to improve your mood. But then I realized you got to look at it for half an hour a day just for it to work. You know it's not going to improve my mood? Penciling into my schedule time with lamp. That's what I do during the winter. I go to work, I come home, I look at a lamp. Hey, Matt, you see Game of Thrones last night? No, I was too busy watching Lamp. If you like House, you'll love Lamp. But yeah, I have a pretty good job now, but my last job was not so great. I was a question writer for the Newlywed Game on the Game Show Network. Any fans? No? Okay. They're like, Matt, we like your questions, but they're a little dark. I disagree. Here, I'll tell you a couple. Here's one. Your husband's body washes up on the shore, dead. What's the number one thing you'll miss most about it? Here's one. Your husband's body washes up on the shore, dead. What one hors d'oeuvre would he want served at his funeral? It's like a food question. Everyone loves food. Here's one. Your husband's body washes up on the shore, dead. What kind of God would allow this to happen? It's like a philosophical question, you know? This one's a little bit different. You and your husband are out for a walk along the shore. A dead body washes up. It's him. You say, oh no, I've been having sex with my husband's ghost this whole time. Ah. That's the whole question. Granted, that's more of a short story idea, but I think it's pretty cool. Guys, I'm Matt Koff. Thanks a lot. You guys are great.
Are Matt Koff, J.D. Sampson, and Roy Wood Jr. Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, Rachel Neal, Phoebe Robinson, and Jessica Williams. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, Irene Trudell, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky. Like us on Facebook for ticketing info, live videos, and more. And don't forget to subscribe to Two Dope Queens wherever you get your podcasts.
Chocolate Rain.
Joanna would know.
Chocolate Rain.
He's from Minnesota.
He is?
Yeah.
Joni Mitch original. Did you guys ever date?
Yeah.
You dated him? Oh my God. For how long?
2 weeks.
Ooh.
2 weeks is a really long time. Did you get it in
at all or no?
We just played with my butt for a little bit and called it a day.
We just played with my butt. So I like that you were helping him play with your pooper.
Chocolate Rain.